وقل رب زدني علما.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وموالاه. أما بعد, this is the lessons we're taking from the كتاب أحاديث عشر ذي الحجة وأيام التشريق أحكام وآداب للشيخ عبد الله بن صالح الفوزان حفظه الله. Any brother or sister who wants a book there is here, and also it's different than the we distributed yesterday. This has a little English. We stopped the last lesson, the second hadith, the hadith ما يجتنبه في العشر من أراد الأحذية, what he should avoid in the 10 means 10 days, the first 10 days of the Hijjah, what he should avoid, the one who wants to sacrifice, the one who wants to make a sacrifice. The Sheikh continue explaining the hadith from what he said. ومن أخذ من شعره المباح ومن أخذ من شعره المباح أخذه أو ظفره أول العشر لعدم إرادته الأضحية ثم أرادها في أثناء العشر أمسك من حين الإرادة. Whoever wants his to slaughter, whoever takes away, he cut his hair or his nails the first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah because he was not intending to sacrifice, then after that, while still in the 10 days he intend to sacrifice, from there on he withhold from cutting his nails or hair, meaning, and he make the sacrifice. So for instance, if one of the brothers or sister here today decide to sacrifice, to make udhiyah, but they already cut their hair or their nail yesterday, for instance, yes, from now on they intend to make the sacrifice, and them cutting their nails or hair yesterday doesn't bother their udhiyah. So, but from now on, they don't cut it, since they intended to make the udhiyah sometime in the 10 days of the month. Then the Sheikh said, وَمَنْ احْتَاجَ إِلَىٰ أَخْذِ شَيْءٍ مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ لِتَضَرُّرِهِ بِبَقَائِهِ كَانْكِسَارِ ظُفْرٍ أَوْ جُرْحٍ عَلَيْهِ شَعْرٌ يَتَعَيَّنُ أَخْذُهُ فَلَا بَأْسَ لِأَنَّ الْمُضَحِيَ ليس بأعظم من المحرم الذي أبيح له الحلق إذا كان مريضا أو به أذى من رأسه, لكن المحرم عليه الفدية والمضحي لا فدية عليه. And whoever wants, now someone he make the sacrifice, he already intend to sacrifice, and he refrain from cutting his hair or nail because of that, but he is in need of doing that now, because without cutting that hair or without cutting the nail, he's going to have mada problem, sickness, illness, pain. Like someone, a part of his nail cut off. If he doesn't cut the rest, he will have pain. Or he has to cut his hair because it's where he has to, he has wounding or sickness where there's the hair, so he has to cut the hair in order to treat the wounding or the illness. Now nothing is wrong with this individual to cut his nail or to cut his hair. The Sheikh said, because the mudahi, the one who make an udhiya, he is not bigger than the one who make an ihram, he make an hajj, he is making umrah. And that one, the one making Hajj and Umrah, is allowed to cut his hair when he is sick. He's allowed to cut his nail when he is sick. But on the Muhrim, the one who making Hajj, the one who making Umrah, if he does so, there is a video on expiation. He has to slaughter animal for cutting his hair or cutting his nail, even though there is a need. Like the Sahabi who come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was making Hajj, and he was informed that he is suffering because of his hair, and he has to cut the hair. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to cut the hair, but to make a sacrifice for that. The Shaykh said, as for the one who make an udhiya, there is no expiation on it. He doesn't have a slaughter animal because of cutting his nail or because of cutting his hair when there was a need to do that. So there is here where the muhrim, the one making hajj or the one who making umrah, is different than the one who making udhiya. Both, they are not allowed to cut their hair. They are not allowed to cut their nails. When the muhrim starts the ihram, and when the mudahi, the one who want to slaughter animal for udhiya, the one who is not making hajj, the one who is not making umrah, when he intend to slaughter, from there on he's not allowed to cut his hair, he's not allowed to cut his nail. But if each of them is in need because of illness, because of pain, it is allowed to cut. As for the muhrim, he has to slaughter animal. As for the mudahi, nothing is on him. Is that issue clear or is confusion? Okay. Then the Shaykh said, وَلَا يُجُزُ لِلْمَرْأَةِ أَن تُوَكِّلَ أَحَدًا عَلَىٰ أُضْحِيَتِهَا لِتَأْخُذَ مِنْ شَعْرِهَا كَمَا قَدْ تَفْهَمُهُ بَعْضُ النِّسَاءِ لِأَنَّ الْحُكْمُ مُتَعَلَّقٌ بِالْمُضَحِّي نَفْسِهِ سَوَاءً وَكَّلَ غَيْرَهُ أَمْ لَا وَأَمَّا الْوَكِيلُ فَلَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِهِ نَهْيٌ. The Shaykh said, it's not permissible for the woman to appoint someone to make the udhiyah on behalf of her so she can take her hair out. She can cut his hair, her hair. كَمَا قَدْ تَفَهَمُوا بَعْضُ النِّسَاءِ. Some women may understand. Like there is a woman, there is a sister, Muslima. She wants, she intends to make udhiya. She's sacrificing for Allah. And she knows the rule. She's not allowed to cut his hair, her hair. Now, in order to do that, or she's not allowed to cut her nail. So in order to do that, what she does, she appoints her brother or her husband or someone to slaughter the animal on behalf of her. And now she started cutting her nail or hair. The Shaykh said, that's not allowed. Why? Because the rule is connected to the one who making the sacrifice, whether he appoints someone to do that for him or not. As for the wakil, the one who was assigned, the one who was appointed to slaughter the animal on behalf of someone else, nothing is related to him. The prohibition of not cutting hair and nail is not connected to, it's not related to. So this issue should be understood. So some, the Shaykh says, some woman may misunderstand this point. She want to cut the, she want to cut her hair. What she's doing, she asks someone else, like her brother, to slaughter on behalf of her. She's the one who paying the money, she's the one who getting the reward, but she asking him to slaughter on behalf of her so she can cut her hair or she can cut her nail. The Shaykh said, this is not allowed, because the rule of not cutting the hair or the nail is connected, is related to the one who making the sacrifice, not the one who making on behalf of. طيب, ولا حرج في غسل الرجل ولا حرج في غسل الرأس للرجل والمرأة أيام العشر لأنه صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما نهى عن الأخذ ولأن المحرم أذن له أن يغسل رأسه. The Shaykh said, no, there's no harm the man or the woman to wash their hair, to wash their hair in the days of the first day, 10 days of the Hijjah. Nothing is wrong with, because what was forbidden is only to cut the hair, not to wash it. So they can wash it. And also because of the muhrim, even the muhrim, the one who making hajj and umrah, it's permissible for him to wash his hair, to wash her hair. So how about someone who making udhiyah? So again, nothing is wrong with, when you are making udhiyah, when you are planning to sacrifice, to wash your hair. Yes. But what is not allowed is to cut it. Then the Shaykh said, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُضَحِيَ ثُمَّ عَزَّمَ عَلَى الْحَجِّ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَأْخُذُ مِنْ أَشْعَارِهِ وَأَظْفَارِهِ عِنْدَ الْإِحْرَامِ لأن هذا سنة عند الحاجة فيرجح جانب الترك لكن إن كان متمتعا قصر من شعره إذا فرغ من عمرته لأن ذلك نسك على أرجح الأقوال وكذا إذا رمى جمرة العقبة يوم العيد. The Shaykh said, whoever wants to make udhiyah, then he decides to make hajj. Somebody, the 10-day inter, he intend to make udhiyah, not to make hajj. Okay. Now, he's not allowed to cut his hair, he's not allowed to cut his nail, because he is making udhiyah. He's a sacrificing animal for Allah. In that situation, he intends to make hajj. He changes his mind. He said, let me make hajj. Alhamdulillah, I get the visa, I get the ticket, I get the rukhsa. Alhamdulillah, I'm making hajj. Tayyib, the Shaykh said, when he is making ihram, he is going to start to make the hajj entering. The origin is the sunnah is to take a shower. So take a bath. And if he wanted to cut his nail, to cut his hair, it is needed to do that because the Hajj time, he's not allowed to do that. So before he entered the Ihram, he cut his nail, for instance. So if he remain on Ihram 1 week, 2 weeks, even maybe more, then he doesn't need to cut his nail. So the origin is that person to cut his nail when he's making ihram, but since this individual, he's already making udhiyah, he's not allowed to cut his hair. He's just involved with the ihram. But if the type of hajj he's making is mutamatti, he's making mutamatti. He is mutamatti. Who is mutamatti? Naam. Who is mutamatti? The one who there is Umrah. Okay, there is Umrah, then there is Hajj. I need to understand well. Someone, he went in Ramadan, he went to the house of Allah, Kaaba. He made Umrah in Ramadan. And he stayed in Mecca until Hajj, and he wanted to make Hajj. Is he mutamati? The question is not clear. He made Umrah in Ramadan, and he wanted to make Hajj. And when the Ramadan finish, he stay in Mecca, and then he make Hajj. Is he mutamati or is not? Then. ما الجواب؟ أحسنتما بارك الله فيكم. That's the correct answer. In order someone to be متمتع, he has to make the Umrah in the أشهر الحرم, which starts its شوال, ذو القعدة, ذو الحجة. And what month? What's the other أشهر الحرم? أشهر الحج استختلف. So Ashur al-Hajj is Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, and the 13 of Dhul Hijjah. So if the person make Umrah in Ramadan, he didn't make the Umrah the months of the Hajj. The month of Hajj start from Shawwal, start from the Eid day after Ramadan. Tayyib. So the question was someone who make Umrah in Ramadan, that one is not mutamatti. Unless, when is he going to mutamatti? If he make another Umrah. After Ramadan, he make Umrah. Before the Hajj take place. And he want to make Hajj in that year. Now he's mutamatti. Because he make Umrah in the Ashur al-Hurum. Naam? if he what? If he make another Umrah. Yeah, if he make Umrah in the Ashur al-Hurum, as Ashur al-Hajj, in Shawwal or the Qa'da, or the beginning of the Hijjah, if he make Umrah, he's mutamatti. He make Umrah and he finish the Umrah, he's mutamatti. If he making Hajj in the same year, if he's not making Hajj, he's not mutamatti. He just make Umrah. No. He doesn't have to stay ihram the whole time if he is mutamatti. Whenever he finish the Umrah, he has to come out the Umrah. That's what tamattu means. He make Umrah. Umrah is separate from the Hajj. So when he finish the Umrah, he become halal. He go back to his clothes, carrying perfume, whatever. So you have these three situations. Someone who make Umrah in Ramadan, and he didn't make another Umrah in Shawwal or the Al-Qa'da or the beginning of the Hajj, okay, this one, he is not mutamatti. Even if he make Hajj, he's not mutamatti. Because he didn't make the Umrah in the Ashur Al-Hajj, the month of the Hajj, which is 2 months and 13 days. Shawwal and the Al-Qa'da and the Hajj, 13 days. يعني the time you can make Hajj. You make a Hajj. Because Hajj you don't make after 13 days of the Hijjah. Hajj finish. طيب, the other person is someone who make Umrah, or the same person, he will make another Umrah. After Ramadan, he also make Umrah in Shawwal, the Eid day. Now he is mutamatti. If he make Hajj in that year, if he doesn't make Hajj in that year, he's not mutamatti. He just make Umrah. طيب. When he's entering the Ihram, he has to intend, it's a condition, the Ibadah, to intend, what do you want to do it? Do you want to make first Umrah, finish it, then make Hajj? This is mutamatti. Do you want to make only Hajj, no Umrah? This is Ifrat. Do you want to make both at the same time, doing the same action? This is Qiran. This is Qiran. Naam. Okay, if you wanted to make two Umrah, first of all, a Salaf or Salih, Sahaba, those who follow them, were not used to make more than one Umrah in the same journey. They only used to make one Umrah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he make different time Umrah whenever he was coming from Medina. And he was making only one Umrah. Nor any of his Sahaba was making two Umrah. None of them. What happened is, when Hajj was being performed, Aisha Umm al-Mu'min radiallahu ta'ala anha, she wanted to make Umrah and to make Hajj, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when she was supposed to make Umrah tawaf, she had menses. She was not allowed to make tawaf in the Kaaba, because making tawaf is like being in Salah. And that doesn't mean you cannot talk. You cannot look around. Some Muslims, they understood that way. You can talk when you're making tawaf. You can look around. But it means you cannot make tawaf without tahara, without having wudu. So since she didn't have wudu, she was not able to make tawaf. So she did the other act of worship. And she finished the Hajj. When she finished the Hajj, she found those who were with her, of Sahaba, they are going back to Medina while they make Hajj and they make Umrah. And she only made Mada Hajj. She didn't make the Umrah because she didn't make Tawaf. That bothered her, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her brother Abdurrahman to take her to where they call Tan'im, Masjid Aisha they call now, to be out of the haram, to go to the hill out of the haram, and from there to make umrah. So she make umrah, radiallahu ta'ala anha. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't do that. The sahaba, the companion, didn't do that. Even Abdurrahman, her brother who was with her, didn't do that. Why radiallahu anha she did is because she already made, she already come from the miqat with the intention to make both umrah and hajj. But she wasn't able to make the umrah because of her situation. So the Salafu Salih, they were not making, they were not repeating the umrah in the same journey. That's one thing. So second thing, they were not making ihram from outside Mecca, except the situation of the Aisha radiallahu anha, because she already come from miqat with the intention of umrah. Therefore, the ulama, they say, it's not like it in the same journey to keep on repeating umrah. But if you have to do it, it's something permissible. You have to go back to the miqat. If you are from Medina, you have to go to Medina. Now you go outside Mecca, and because you are not from the people of Mecca. You are not from the people of Mecca. And you didn't go to your miqat. And you are different the case of Aisha radiallahu anha, who already come from the miqat. Is this clear? So the ulama, they say, what this Muslim, what they do, they go to the umrah, they come back, make an umrah. It's better to remain in the haram and to make tawaf and to make salah, each prayer, 100,000 prayer, and to make dhikr and to make dua for those Muslims you make an umrah. That's much better than going Medina and coming back. Tayyib. Now, if you go to Mecca, you make umrah, and now you want to visit the Prophet's masjid, you go to Medina, and then you want to make umrah, yes. Even if you are Mecca and you want to make umrah, you can make umrah, but you have to go back to the miqat. You have to go back to the miqat, not the same journey, you're making more than one umrah. Now you didn't make more than one umrah in the same journey, you went to another journey. So if you go back to the miqat, nothing's wrong with that. If you go back to the miqat, no objection to that. But the objection is not to go to the miqat, just to go outside Mecca, and then you make an umrah back and forth. But if you decide to go back to Medina, especially our time, alhamdulillah, traveling is easy. You take a train, 1 hour and a half, 2 hours, you're there already. If you decide, you can make umrah. Naam. والعلم عند الله طيب. Then the Sheikh said, so the one who intend to make, to sacrifice and not to make hajj, and he withhold from cutting his hair and his nails, طيب, and then he intend to make hajj, when he come to the ihram, the origin is to cut his nail if he wants, to cut his hair when he's entering the ihram, if he's in need of it, now he's not allowed to do that. Why? Because he's making udhiyah. He was already udhiyah. So he entered the ihram. Okay? But when he finished the umrah, now he cut his hair for the umrah. Now he doesn't take the rule of udhiyah. He now took the role of hajj. The role of Hajj, the situation of Mu'tamir. The same thing, he cut his hair the day of Eid when he threw the Jamarat. Any question relate to that? Next hadith, وجوب الحج والمبادرة به. عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال بني الإسلام على خمس: شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وحج البيت وصوم رمضان. أخرجه البخاري ومسلم. عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam is built on five. Islam is built on five, means five pillars. First, the testimony that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Second, establishing salah. Third, paying the zakah. Fourth, pilgrimage to the house. And fifth, and fast in Ramadan, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. In this hadith, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Islam is built on five: the shahadatain, the tawheed, tawheedul ikhlas and mutaba'ah, and establishing the prayer, giving zakah, making hajj, and fast in Ramadan. This hadith shows the importance of performing hajj because it is one of the five things which Islam is built on. The Shaykh said, الحديث دليل على وجوب الحج وأنه ركن من أركان الإسلام لمن استطاع إليه سبيل. قال تعالى ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. The Shaykh said, the hadith is a proof that performing hajj is mandatory and that it is one of the pillars of Islam for whoever is able. Performing hajj is a mandatory, and it is one of the pillars of Islam for whoever is able. If you are not able, you are not able. But if you are able and a Muslim, you have to perform hajj. Rather, it is one of the pillars that Islam is built on. The Shaykh mentioned the ayah of Allah, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. This ayah that Allah has right on His subhanahu wa ta'ala services to perform hajj for those who are able. The Shaykh said, وَمِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَرَحْمَتِهِ وَتَيْسِيرِهِ أَنَّ الْحَجَّ فرض مرة في العمر. لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحج مرة فمن زاد فهو تطوع أخرجه أصحاب السنن إلا الترمذي. أخرجه أصحاب السنن إلا الترمذي أو إلا الترمذي. أخرجه أصحاب السنن إلا الترمذي أو إلا الترمذي. Or illa tirmidhiyya, naam? Illa tirmidhiyya. An-nasb. Why? Mamnu' min asarf? Tayyib. Hada istithna. Tamun. Mujib. Sadaqt, you're right. Hada istithna. Tamun. Muthbat. Yes. صدقت. أخرجه أصحاب السنن إلا الترمذية وإسناده صحيح. The Shaykh said, and from the favors of Allah and His mercy and His easiness subhanahu wa ta'ala to the making easy to His servants, that Hajj is mandatory once in lifetime. Hajj is mandatory once in lifetime. Because He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hajj is once. Whoever increases means that's more than that, it is optional. فيجب على المسلم المبادرة بالحج إذا توفرت الشروط وانتفت الموانع فإن الإنسان لا يدري ما يعرض له من الموانع. The Shaykh said, upon the Muslim to hurry up to perform Hajj when the shurut is there and there's no موانع, when he has the means to make the Hajj and there's nothing preventing him. A Muslim should hurry up to make Hajj. He shouldn't delay it. You are healthy, you get the permission to make Hajj, you have the financial يعني, means, ticket, everything, and you never made Hajj before, you must make Hajj. Don't delay it. Okay? The Shaykh said, فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَا يَدْرِ مَا يَعْرِضُ لَهُ مِنَ الْمَوَعَنِ. The human, the person doesn't know what may happen to him of preventers. What may prevent him from making Hajj after that? He may get sick, and financially he may not be able after that. Anything may happen. They may not allow him to make Hajj. Saudi government may say no. Saudi government may say no, you cannot make Hajj. They don't give him permission to make Hajj. Why? Because they say the Hajj place doesn't fit every Muslim. The Hajj, the Kaaba, Masjid al-Haram, Mina, Arafah, Muzdalifah can only accept a limited number of people. Muslims, they say, is more than billion. And every Muslim wants to make Hajj. And they say the Kaaba, the Haram, Masha'ir Hadi cannot accept that number of people, cannot accept even 5 million. It can't, even 5 million. The most 3 million. 1 million and a half, 2 million, the most 3 million. Even 3 million is a lot. So how are the 5 million? How are 7 million? How about hundreds of millions? Sometimes the number of them who make Hajj are less than 3 million. Some of them die because of no way to breathe. Everywhere crowded. Bathrooms are limited. So the government now, they say, they have a policy for the safety of the Muslims, for the well-being of performing the Hajj. We have to limit the number who make Hajj. If you make Hajj one time, you cannot make Hajj again within 5 years. This is the rule. After 5 years, you may be, you may not. Depends the number they can accept. But if you didn't make Hajj, you qualify to make Hajj. Unless it gets full before you. If it gets full, no space for you, then what can be done? But if there is a space for you and you never make Hajj, you have to be allowed to make Hajj. The government allows you and give you permission. But if you make already Hajj, they don't allow you to make it another one within 5 years. So sometimes you may not be allowed. Some Muslims now, they say they shouldn't stop people making Hajj. Allah commanded them to make Hajj. They are not allowed to stop people making Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered people to make Hajj. Did Allah order people to kill one another and to die, to make Hajj and to... That's what Allah legislated? No. So to follow the rules the government they made for the well-being of the Muslims. Alhamdulillah, you get your good intention. Don't cheat the system. Don't do all these things. Don't make forgery of the documents. You need nothing of that. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. نعم. Allah say من استطاع إليه السبيل. Whoever able. While Allah say in order to be able fight for it and lie and make a forgery, take a wrong document, claim something which is not there. Where Allah say lie to worship me. La. Prophet said he forbade lying. So ala kul hal, so sometimes the government they make this has to be obeyed. They must be obeyed. Because these rules is for the well-being of the people. Even if people of Mecca and people of Jeddah and Mecca, only them. Nobody else can make Hajj. Therefore, the rule is general, by the way. It's not for the foreigners. It's for Saudis. They cannot make Hajj more than one in 5 years, except the necessary people, the doctors, the soldiers, the scholars who give fatwa. Those are exceptional. Because the people need a doctor, they need a soldier, they need a scholar. Those people are, the rest, they are not allowed to make Hajj more than once in 5 years. After 5 years, yes, you are allowed. unless the number of people that the Hajj can accept is now more, is already complete. Then the Sheikh said, but again, a Muslim has to hurry up to make Hajj when he's able. He shouldn't delay it. If you are financially able, your health, they allow you, alhamdulillah, you must make Hajj. Don't say, ya akhi, this year the Hajj is very expensive. It's 15,000. Let it be 50,000, 1,000,000. You are able, perform the Hajj. If you're not able, nothing is on you. والعلم عند الله. The Sheikh said, وقد ورد عن ابن عباس عن الفضل أو أحدهما عن الآخر. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تعجلوا إلى الحج يعني الفريضة فإن أحدكم لا يدري ما يعرض له أخرجه أحمد وحسنه الألباني في إرواء الغليل رحمه الله. It was narrated from Ibn Abbas, who narrated from Al-Fadl, or the opposite. Al-Fadl narrated from Ibn Abbas. What's the difference between Ibn Abbas and Al-Fadl? Is the same or different? They are brothers? Are they brothers or a father and his son? Al-Fadl ibn Abbas or Al-Fadl ibn Abd al-Muttalib? That's Abdullah. Taib, Sheikh, Barakallah, Afidna. Al-Fadl ibn Abd al-Muttalib. Ammi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. Fadl ibn Abbas. So they were brothers? Allahu Akbar. Aywa. That's the information you have it? Show me the information you have it. Because sometimes what your mind says may not be. Allah ya wa'amma. Liyatma'inna qalbi. أيوة فهو الفضل ابن عباس ابن عبد المطلب جزاك الله خير. أيوة أحسنت. إذن there is أبو الفضل. So there is Al-Fadl and there is Abu al-Fadl. Sahih? There is Al-Fadl and Abu al-Fadl. Abu al-Fadl هو العباس. صح ولا لا؟ So Abu al-Fadl هو عباس بن عبد المطلب. هو is the uncle of the Prophet. And Al-Fadl is his son. So Abu al-Fadl, Naam? Yes. Ahsant. So Jazakallah. So now we have, MashaAllah, the uncle of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is called Mala Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib. Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abd al-Muttalib. The same thing Abu Lahab. The same thing Hamza ibn Abd al. So Abbas, the Prophet used to love him. He has two sons, Al-Fadl and Abdullah. And his kunya used to be Abu al-Fadl. صح ولا لا؟ جزاك الله. So here he said, وَقَدْ وَرَدَ عَنِ ابْنِ عَبَّاسِ عَنِ الْفَضَلِ أو أحدهما عن الآخر. So Abdullah ibn Abbas reported from his brother Al-Fadl, or Al-Fadl reported from his brother Abdullah. He said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hurry up making Hajj, meaning that mandatory, because one of you doesn't know what may happen to him. Abu Wail, معنا طيب. What is the relation between Abu al-Fadl and Abdullah ibn Abbas? Ibnu, how about the relation between al-Fadl and Abdullah ibn Abbas? إخوة أحسنت بارك الله فيك كيرس طيب عباس رضي الله عنه عم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم the prophet used to love عباس ما شاء الله so the عباس the uncle of the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had ماذا had عبد الله and الفضل and Qasim, and Muhammad, and Al-Hassan. The way he put in order is like Abdullah is older. The way... Famous. Sahih. Sahih. Haqqan. Haqqan. Tayyib. Jazakallah khair. So the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abbas, had... Abdullahi had Al-Fadl and Abdullahi and Hassan and Qasim and Muhammad. Muhammad, the name of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qasim, the name of the son of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hassan is the grandson of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abdullahi and Al-Fadl. Tayyib, the Shaykh said, Jazakallahu khair, I learned from you. I used to mix Al-Fadl and his father. I used to think Al-Fadl is Abbas. Barakallahu fiqh. MashaAllah. Yani Al-Fadl. Laysa al-Ab. Laysa Abbas. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. الله أكبر. He was very handsome. وقد وردت عدة أحاديث مفادها وجوب المبادرة والسعي لأداء فريضة الحج ولا يخلو شيء منها من مقال في سندي لكن مع تعددها واختلاف طرقها تدل على وجوب الحج على الفور. The Sheikh mentioned there are many hadith which indicates that it is mandatory to hurry up to make Hajj. But none of these narrations is strong, sound by itself. But together, to collect it, then it shows it has, it strengthens one another, these chains, and it becomes strong to be a proof that performing Hajj on hiring up to make Hajj and not delaying it is a mandatory. وَتَعْتَضِدُ بِآيَاتِ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And also this hadith, what aids it and supports it, some verse from the book of Allah. As Allah says, سُبْحَانَ وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. Hurry up to a forgiveness from your Lord and paradise, which the worth of it is the heaven and the earth together. وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. And compete one another to the good. فالواجب على كل مسلم ومسلمة أن يبادر إلى أداء هذا الركن العظيم فالواجب على كل مسلم ومسلمة أن يبادر إلى أداء هذا الركن العظيم من متى استطاع إلى ذلك سبيلا وعلى المستطيع من الآباء والأولياء العمل على حج من تحت ولايته من الأبناء والبنات وغيرهم لعموم قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته متفق عليه. The Sheikh said, upon every Muslim, male and female, that they hurry up to perform this great pillar of Islam when they are able. And whoever is able from the fathers and the guardians also to work how those who are under their custody of their children, of their daughter, their sons, and the like under their care should also make Hajj. So father help his son, his daughter to make Hajj. And also husband to help his wife to make Hajj. Because of the generality of the hadith, kullukum ra', every one of you is shibr. And everyone will be asked his shibr. Means every one of you is responsible, in charge of someone, and he will be asked about those. So the Sheikh says that a parent, a father, should help his children to make hajj, those who hajj is mandatory on them. Likewise, his wife. ويتأكد ذلك في حق البنت قبل زواجها لأن حجها قبل أن تتزوج سهل وميسور بخلاف ما إذا تزوجت فقد يعتريها الحمل والإرضاع والتربية ونحو ذلك من العوارض الطارئة. The Sheikh said, and it's more emphasized with the regard of the daughter, the daughter to help her to make hajj before she get married. Why? Because before she get married, to make hajj is easy for her. Unlike after she get married, she may get pregnant, she may be breastfeeding, she may be raising up kids, and the like of those things. So the Sheikh said before, the woman, the daughter, before she get married, she should be helped to make hajj, or she should make hajj. A woman, she didn't get married, she should make hajj if she is able before she get married. Why? If she get married, she may not be able, or may not be at least easy for her because of her situation. So the Sheikh mentioned she may be in a state of pregnancy, breastfeeding, raising kids, having responsibility she doesn't have before she get married. الشخص وليس للزوج أن يمنع زوجته من حجة الإسلام لأنها واجبة بأصل الشرع وينبغي للزوج إن كان قادرا أن يكون عونا لزوجته على أداء فريضتها ولا سيما من كان حديث عهد بالزواج فيسهل مهمتها إما بسفره معها أو بالإذن لأحد إخوانها أو غيرهم من محارمها بالحج بها وعليه أن يخلفها في حفظ الأولاد والعناية بالمنزل فهو بذلك مأجور. The Sheikh said it is not lawful for the husband to prevent his wife to perform the Hajj of Al-Islam. So the man cannot prevent his wife to make the Hajj of Al-Islam because it is a mandatory by the Sharia. Allah made it mandatory. Rather, it is suitable and it's good for the husband, he should do, if he is able, to help his wife to perform the Hajj. It's not mandatory on the man to pay the expenses of his wife, but it's better. It's better. Especially if she is new to the marriage. So you make easy for her. Either he travel with her, or he appoint one of her brother or her guardians to travel with her to make Hajj. And in this case, he should take care of the children, take care of the house. Yes, and he will be rewarded for that. This is what the Sheikh Hafidhahullah, the Sheikh is from the Fuqaha, from the people of knowledge. This is what he says. A man is not allowed to prevent his wife to make Hajj. The Hajj of the mandatory Hajj, not the Sunnah one. And also he should help her to make hajj, especially when she is new to the marriage, before she has kids, because in that it's easy for her. So he will either make hajj with her or appoint someone, her brother and the like, to perform hajj with her. And in this case, he should take care of the house and the kids. And he get reward for doing so. Then the Sheikh make dua, Allahumma ayqidhna min nawmati al-ghafla wa nabbihna li-ightinami awqati al-muhla wa waffiqna li-masalihina wa asimna min dhunubina wa qaba'ihina istamilna wa istamil fi ta'atika jami'a jawarihina wa ij'alna hudatan muhtadin ghayra dhalin wa la mudallin wa sallallahu wa sallama ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi. Next hadith, the third hadith, or the second in this chapter, fadlul hajji wa ma yanbaghi lil-hajji an yattasifa bihi. This chapter about the virtue of performing Hajj and what is required the one who performing Hajj should be upon. The etiquettes of the one who performing Hajj and what is required in order his Hajj to be perfect. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من حج فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع من ذنوبه كيوم ولدته أمه أخرجه البخاري ومسلم وفي لفظ لمسلم من أتى هذا البيت فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه said, I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, whoever performs Hajj and doesn't commit any obscenity nor commit any evil will return from his sin like the day his mother gave birth to him. Whoever performs Hajj and doesn't commit any obscenity, jazakallahu khair, obscenity, doesn't commit any obscenity, nor commit any evil, will return from his sin like the day his mother gave birth to him. Reported by Al-Bukhari Muslim, in another wording, reported by Muslim, whoever comes to this house, meaning the Kaaba, and doesn't commit any obscenity, nor commit any evil, will return just as his mother gave birth to him. Subhanallah, this hadith shows the importance of making Hajj. Because if someone makes Hajj and he performs it in a correct way, he returns while he has no sin whatsoever, major or minor, as he was the day he born. So in this hadith, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man hajja, who perform hajj, falam yarfuth, and he doesn't make rafath. A rafath is what relates to the woman. He doesn't either make sexual relation with her, he doesn't talk about anything of that with the woman, nor he talk about these things behind her with other people. No, nothing of that he talk about when he is performing Hajj. Even he's not allowed to marry his daughter to anyone, nor is he allowed to marry when he's performing Hajj or Umrah. It's not allowed. So you are performing Hajj, someone come to you, Akhi, I want to marry my daughter. You cannot accept that. Nothing. Someone ask you, Akhi, I want to marry your daughter. You cannot marry to him while you are performing Hajj. So nothing relate to the woman about that issue, the one who making Hajj should talk about. You cannot touch your wife. You cannot kiss when you're performing Hajj. Nothing of that. That's one thing. وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ nor do any disobedience to Allah. Lying or hurting the Muslims performing Hajj or doing any sin. The one who does this, he goes back from the Hajj to his home, wherever he's from, while he has no sin whatsoever. Just like the day his mother gave birth to him. The Shaykh said, Al-Hadith dalil ala fadl al-hajj wa azim al-thawabi عند الله تعالى. وأن الحاج يرجع من حجه نقيا من الذنوب طاهرا من الأدناس كحاله يوم ولدته أمه إذا تحقق له وصفان. The Hadith shows the virtue of faking Hajj. And it is great reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the one who performs Hajj goes back while he is pure from the sin, clean from the dirty, just like the day his mother gave birth to him. But if two things are fulfilled, number one, قوله فلم يرفث وهو بضم الفاء مضارع رفث والرفث بفتح الراء والفاء ذكر الجماع ودواعيه إما إطلاقا وإما في حضرة النساء بالإفضاء إليهن بجماع أو مباشرة للشهوة. So number one, in order to get this great reward, his sin, all of it is forgiven. Okay? he shouldn't involve anything related to the sexual relations in either straight touching his wife or even sleeping with her or any, or even talking about those things, not even with the women, but even behind her. You cannot talk about these things. Second thing, وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ أي وَلَمْ يَخْرُجْ عَنْ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِفِعْلِ الْمَعَاصِي وَمِنَا مَحْظُورَاتُ الْإِحْرَامِ. And the second thing, that he doesn't be out of the obedience of Allah. Means he doesn't commit a sin. He's a human. If it happened, he make tawbah. But he doesn't intend. He doesn't intend. He has to repent in case mistake happened. Also, وَمِنْهَا مَحْظُورَاتُ الْإِحْرَامِ. He doesn't fail into anyone, any prohibitions related to the ihram. He doesn't cut his hair, he doesn't use perfume and the like. Because Allah said in Quran, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا, فَلَا, رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. The one who make hajj, he shouldn't make rafath, he shouldn't talk about anything related to the woman with the real issue of يعني, that relationship, nor he commit the sin, nor he argue in the hajj. No dispute, no argument. So when you are in hajj, don't argue with anyone. Subhanallah is a big test. A lot of things call you to argue, even calls you to fight. People are keeping hitting you unintentionally because two crowded people. You may see your feet bleeding. You may see your feet bleeding because people are stepping on it and stepping on it, stepping on it. You may be in a line for the bathroom. Another one who just come may enter force. You are not allowed to fight, not allowed to argue. Is a big test. That's why if you adhere to these rules, you go back home like the day you born from the sin. Subhanallah, in Hajj, you learn patience in the Hajj. Sabr. Sabr from the women and sabr from attacking or fighting back. Yes, in Hajj, people are mixed. Yes, the way it is, making tawaf, that's the necessity. The one next to you may be a woman. You have to be careful. You have to watch your mind, your heart, your eyes, everything. And she may be next to you all the way around because you cannot even escape. You try to escape, another one is in front of you. Big test. Therefore, Allah says, فَلَا رَفَثَ. Nothing related to the woman, stay away from it. وَلَا جِدَّال, no argument. People are lifting you and taking you to where? You were close to the black stone, you are now on the other corner of the masjid. They taking you, pushing you, pushing you. Some people, they literally fight back. You see, he put the ihram down, he's ready to fight. Why you come here, akhi? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سبحان الله. Especially there are there, نسأل الله السلامة والعافية, some people, ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, who come there just to steal the hujjaj, to steal your wallet, your document, to cheat you. أعوذ بالله. So be careful about those, but الحمد لله, those are nothing comparing to the millions who are there solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. So one individual who is bad doesn't represent over a million who are good or close to that. والمعنى فمن أوجب فيهن الحج على نفسه بأن أحرم به فليحترم ما التزم به من شعائر الله ولينتهي عن كل ما ينافي التجرد لله تعالى وقصد بيته الحرام فلا يرفث ولا يفسق ولا يخاصم أو ينازع في غير فائدة. If the debate is for benefit, to convince to the tawheed, to call to the sunnah, then that's permissible. But the argument which is not allowed is the one where there is no فائدة. One time was tawaf and I see a man who is very strong, very tall Somali man pushing people to kiss the Maqam Ibrahim, where the Prophet Ibrahim is stood up. And this man is very strong, tall man. I talked to him in his language. I say, Subhanallah, even touching the Maqam Ibrahim is not permissible. This is not the sunnah, this is innovation. This man, he look at me down. He says, Subhanallah, even you are not shying in front of the Kaaba. Even you are not shying in front of the Kaaba. Because this man, he's a follower of Sufia. And Sufia tell him to wipe over, to seek blessings in the graves of the sheikhs. And now in front of, here you have Maqam Ibrahim, Prophet Ibrahim, where he stood. His feet is there. You telling me you don't touch it? So he said, even you don't shy in front of the Kaaba. Yes. So he thought when the people of Sunnah back home were telling him, don't touch the grave, don't take sand from it, they're doing that this out of shyness. They don't fear Allah. So he expects in front of the Kaaba, we have to at least fear in that position. He said, even in front of the Kaaba, you shyless. What this shows that some of those Muslims, they're ignorant. They are not refusing the truth, but they don't know it. That I realized this man, he didn't know the reality, what he was talking about. He considered me shyless because I'm telling him, don't touch Maqam Ibrahim. So if there would have been to him, if there would have been in me any kind of shyness, any fear of Allah, at least in that situation, I would fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and shouldn't address this issue. I should let him do that. Subhanallah. And you can't convince him. And he started pushing people, a strong man, pushing people. La, the only place it's legislated to touch in the Kaaba is three places. The Balag Stone, and the, what do you call it? Yes? Al-Murtazim, Jazakallahu Khairah, to put your chest on it. Many Muslims don't know that. Next to that, between the black stone and the door of the Kaaba. Between that. And the third place, the Rukn al-Yamani. The Rukn al-Yamani. Other than this, don't touch it. And even this, you don't touch to seek blessings. You don't touch to seek blessings. Even the black stone, you don't touch to get mercy from there. To get barakah, to get healed, to get shifa. You don't do that. Because nothing of that is there. What is there only is to do that, to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to get reward from Allah. Therefore, in Sahih al-Bukhari, Umar, when he kissed the black stone, he said, Wallahi inni la'alam annaka hajar, la tadurru wa la tanfa' ولولا أني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبلك ما قبلته. By Allah, I know you are a stone. The most important section in the Kaaba is black stone. This stone is from Jannah. It's from paradise. It used to be white, but the sin of the idol worship made it black. This authentic hadith. This stone is from paradise. The Jannah. The only thing on earth we know from paradise is that stone. Sufficient for honor that the prophets of Allah kiss it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissed that black stone. Umar did, Abu Bakr did, Umar did, Uthman did, Ali did, Anas, Abu Huraira, Sahaba did. Righteous people, Imam Shafi, those who were able, Imam Ahmed, Imam Bukhari, whoever was able, they did because they were following Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet Umar, he says, I know you are a stone. Wallahi, you don't harm and you don't benefit. Had I not seen the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissing you, I wouldn't kiss you. Had I not seen the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissing you, wallahi, I wouldn't kiss you. Umar, he's teaching the Muslims with him. And he's Muslim Khalifa at that time. So if Umar radiallahu anhu, he wasn't kissing black stone of seeking blessings, getting healed from sickness, nothing. But ماذا? To get to follow the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to get river from that. As for water of Zamzam, you drink for shifa, for cure. That's the barakah. Water of Zamzam, drink to get healed, to get knowledge. Allah to take care of your business, whatever concerns you. That's for the water of Zamzam. Another miracle. Yes. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam. Barakallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah.